Vice, I don't know if I've been speaking and talking for a few minutes now. I don't know if anyone is hearing me. I'm using a different device, and I just need to know if I'm being heard on tonight. So tonight's topic is you can marry a saved man and a saved woman and still be unequally yoked. So how is that possible? I did have a prophet that was calling in that was a co-host, but I don't see her nowhere in sight. So I'm going to carry on the radio broadcast. I'm going to continue on tonight. And we have the Holy Ghost and others that are calling in, and we're just going to keep it moving. If you want to send, if you don't want to ask a question on the air, you can either inbox me through Facebook your questions, or you can send me a text, your questions, and then I can read the questions, and then we can address the questions on tonight. The topic for the show tonight is you can marry a saved man. It's actually not a question. It's a statement. You can marry a saved man and a saved woman and still be unequally yoked. That is the topic of the show. And so one would ask the question, how can you marry a saved man and a saved woman and still be unequally yoked? That's a good question on tonight. So, but if you can hear me, I need someone to let me know that you can hear me. I don't know if anyone is able to hear. I'm not getting any. I don't know if anyone is hearing me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I see some people dropping off, and I see some people calling back in. So I don't know if there's any difficulty or not, because I can only hear myself talking. But we're going to move on. We're just going to talk. We're just going to speak on tonight. If you can hear me, please inbox me through the Facebook or send me a text. I don't know which device you're calling in from, but just let me know that you can hear me on tonight. I need to know if you can hear me on tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Tonight we're going to discuss you can marry a saved man and a saved woman and still be unequally yoked. Well, the question many want to know, how is that possible? How can you marry a saved man and a saved woman and still be unequally yoked? Well, because, and you know, the scripture talks about in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, I think I just read it, it's 6 and 14, 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, okay. All righty. We're having some problems. Someone said that they can't hear. They can't hear me. Okay, Let me see. Just hold on. I want to make sure that I'm being heard. Can you hear me now? I just put a different device in. The computer. And can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Thank you, Lord. Can you hear me now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you hear me now? Okay, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, thank you so much, woman of God, for responding, letting me know. I know now what I need to keep attached in here. Because I was talking for a good while, and I was asking, though, to just let me know if you can hear me. I have to use a different device because my phone will no longer allow me to call in through the radio broadcast. I have to call in a different way. Okay, thank you. You can hear me. Praise God. And we give God praise and glory on tonight. And we know that God is good, and we bind up any backlash. We bind up hindrances. We bind up all of that in the name of Jesus. We bind up retaliation and backlash and sabotage, assassination. We bind up every spirit that will attempt to hinder this broadcast in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for better equipment, Lord, to that we can go on and do TV and air TV, internet TV and radio and broadcast and just come all different types of ways, God, through the media. So we thank you for upgrading our equipment in the name of Jesus. And we just praise you. We bless you and magnify you. So we thank you on tonight, Lord, that you are just good. You're a good God and you're a mighty God. Okay, now as long as I know I'm being heard, now I'm going to go on and I'm going to just teach. I don't see the person that I asked to be the show host. I don't know what happened, why they're not here, but the Holy Ghost is here. Okay, we have 49 more minutes, so I'm going to go on. Okay, tonight we're going to be talking about relationship. We're going to be sharing some things for marriage and single. I have written two other books. I've written many books, actually. So one of the books I'm going to be kind of talking out of a little bit is The Wrong Decisions. And then I have written another book called Don't Ignore the Red Flags. These are both relationship books, and they're very good. As I sit down and read through these, as I was reading through these books tonight, I said, God, this is some good stuff. You know, I have written so many books, I actually forget what I have written in these books, but it is just so good. But someone wants to know, how can you be married to a saved person? You know, how can you marry a saved man and a saved woman and still be unequally yoked? That is not a difficult answer. Let's start with the scripture where 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, it talks about being not unequally yoked for the Christian not to marry an unchristian, or a saved not to marry the unsaved. So we know in that aspect we're not to connect and link up with unsaved, not even fellowship, far as fellowship and hanging out with, because you have light and dark. Light and darkness does not comprehend. Light and dark cannot dwell together. Light and darkness, they will conflict. They will not agree. They will not agree. So we must make sure that we're walking in agreement with our brothers and sisters and that they're saved and they're Christian. Now, that same principle, if we turn around and put that with a relationship, because he's saved and because you're saved, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, they're filled with the Holy Ghost, you both go to church, does not mean that that person is right for you. It doesn't mean that that's the person that you're going to be equally yoked with. We have to go beyond one aspect of relationship. Relationship has many aspects, many levels. You have a spiritual level, then you have the natural level of relationship. You have the emotional part of relationship, the intellectual part of relationship. You know, we have to look at every angle of relationship, the many facets of relationship. You know, when we were coming up, you know, years ago when I was coming up in church, you know, we weren't taught. You know, we just really wasn't really taught many things. You know, we were taught about Jesus, how he loves us, you know, to be saved and repent. You know, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. And then, you know, if you find somebody in the church and they like it, you know, you say yes and they marry you, and then you end up having all these different problems after you get married. But later on, as I matured in Christ, as I grew and matured and studied and researched, you know, and end up making errors and mistakes myself and marrying people, I realized that, you know, just because that person is saved, it doesn't mean that that's the person for me. You have to count up the cost for the relationship. You have to sit down with that person to see if you have the same ideas, see if you see things in life the same way. You know, it's more than just him being saved, you being saved, he speaks in tongues, you speak in tongues, you both go to church. It has to be more than that. You have to find out what do they believe. You know, they may not believe in paying tithes, or, you know, and then that's a whole nother broadcast, but I'm not going to go there tonight. But, you know, or, you know, do they believe in giving offerings, or do they believe in fasting? Do they believe in communion? You know, you have to make sure that you're on the same page. I use that terminology that couples have to be on the same page. You know, you, at least you have to have some agreement. You know, where you're going to live. You know, do you want 5 kids? Do you want 2 children? Do you want 1 child? Or do you want any children? You know how you have to be on the same page. I don't know any other way to put it. You want to make sure that you are the right fit for each other. I'm going to use that word. When you're not equally yoked with a person, not only do they need to be saved, not only do they need to know Jesus, not only do they need to, but you need to believe basically the same thing together, because you need to be on the same page. He may believe that Jesus doesn't believe in calling Jesus Jesus. He may believe in calling Jesus Yahweh or Yahshua, which is one of the Hebrew names of Jesus, but he may believe something a little different will throw a wrench in the relationship. So you need to be on the same page, equally yoked, not just in spirit, but equally yoked in thinking, in your mind, equally yoked in personality, equally yoked in coming together, ideas and views. You know, he may not he may be a political person. You may not be a political person. So that's unequally yoked right there. You have to make sure that you're equally yoked, because you're going to dwell together, live together under the same roof. You know, you're living, you're spending your whole life with this person. So you want to make sure, you know, you have to make sure that, okay, you want children, he wants children. You want to make sure that he, you know, how do he believe in discipline his children? So you want to make sure, you know, some people believe in disciplining their children a real rough way, and you may not believe in disciplining your child, and, you know, in a real harsh way. You want to be equally yoked even in that. So even the mind, your thinking, your understanding. Now, don't misunderstand me. Now, you're definitely two different people, and you may not see everything alike, and you may not see everything, you know, the same way, but you want to be pretty much on the same page just about with everything. And then the things that you cannot see eye to eye or meet mind to mind, I like to say you meet mind to mind, you compromise. There's that word that we fail to use in relationship is compromise. We must learn to compromise when there are two people involved, where there are two people in a relationship. You must learn that magic word, compromise, because when two people come together in a relationship, it is no more me, myself, and I. It is no more. You have to throw those vowels out, throw those words out. It's no more me, it's no more I and myself. It's we. Everything is we, and it's ours. You have to change even the terminology of your language. You know, that means you have to change your mentality, how you think, your mindset. So it's we, you know, it's ours. It's ours. It's we, it's us, it's ours. You have to even change the terminology when you come into a relationship. Relationship doesn't have to be that hard, but we make it hard when we allow selfishness to kick in. You know, I talked about that once on the broadcast about selfishness. So when you come together, well, because he's saved once again, and because you're saved, that doesn't qualify you to be that doesn't qualify two people to be together. It doesn't mean that you're meant to marry. You want to make sure that that person is your right fit, F-I-T. You want to make sure that person is your right fit, your right fit. You want to make sure that you are equally on the same page in mind and thought and in perception and understanding and just things that is major. You know, he may want to live in New York, and you may want to live in Florida. Okay, you unequally yoked. You unequally yoked. Yes, he saved, you saved, but you unequally yoked. He may want, once again, for those that are calling in, he may want five children. You may want one, and you're in a debate. Okay, that's unequally yoked. You may want your mother to come live in your house. You may want to buy a big house, and he, you know, and you want an extra room for your mother because she's of age, and you may want her to come and live in the house, and he's against it. That's unequally yoked. Unequally yoked in mind, unequally yoked in your perception of how you see and understand. So you want to make sure that you are equally yoked, not just in being saved in spirit, but equally yoked in mind. How people think different. People think different. You want to make sure, you know, if, especially women, ladies, if you are called into the gospel, if you call as a minister in the gospel, you have to make sure that man of God that you accept to be your covering, you have to accept him to be your covering. So you have to make sure, even though he's saved, that doesn't mean that he's going to agree with you being a preacher. You know, well, he's saved, you know, automatically he should agree. No, 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 no. Don't assume nothing. That's a dangerous thing right there. Assumption is very dangerous. Assumption is very dangerous. Never assume nothing. Never assume nothing when it involves a relationship or when you're talking with someone else. Never assume that the other person is going to be in agreement with you because they're saved. That's the wrong thing to do. That's dangerous. So you want to make sure that you are equally yoked, not only in salvation, but make sure, you know, if he doesn't want your mother to come or you don't want his mother to come, okay, that's being unequally yoked. I want to make this just as plain and simple so you can understand. I'm not speaking with any long dictionary words where you misunderstand what I'm saying. I like simplicity. Give me simplicity. Give me understanding so I can understand that how I need to prepare myself to marry the person that God has for me. You want to make sure that that person is your fit, F-I-T. How am I going to know, Apostle? Now, if there are any questions, those are calling in from the computer or Facebook or phone, you can either text me or either you can inbox me with questions. If you don't want to come on the air and ask any questions, we actually only have 37 more minutes on, so I want to kind of break down some things, but you want to make sure that you are equally yoked. Equally yoked. You know, I've seen women marry husbands, marry men, and then they disagree with them being a pastor, a woman, or ministry. That's unequally yoked. That's you got an unequally yoked situation going on because you don't agree. You don't agree. So you want to make sure the person that comes in your life, ladies, the person you say I do to is the person that you're giving permission to be your covering. Oh, that's good right there. That's good right there. So the person that you are allowing to be your covering, the one that you say yes to, that's the person you're saying, I give you permission to be my covering. So now, ladies, single ladies, you want to make sure that covering that you are giving permission to, you want to make sure that's the right covering for your life. Because however that man comes in your life and all of his issues, now we all have issues. No one is perfect. No one is perfect. So, but however he comes, whatever his mindset is, however he thinks, that is what you are submitting to as the covering for your life. I don't know if Prophet Faith Sonia's on the line calling in. If so, please inbox me because I don't know your number. Please let me know you're on the line so we can give you space to share some things. So we want to make sure that you're equally yoked in those areas. And make sure, men, if there are any men, make sure that woman is the fit for your life. Women, make sure that he's the right fit. She's the right fit. Not just, you know, outside of being saved, you know, we already know they need to be saved, they need to be in the Lord, they need to believe in God. You want to make sure they feel with the Spirit of God. Make sure all of those things are in place, because it makes things a little easier. Make sure they're submitted to God. Make sure they have a prayer life. My God, stop marrying people that don't have a prayer life. And then when you marry them, then you're wondering why you're going through all this hell. It's because you married somebody who don't have a spiritual, don't have a relationship with God, don't have an intimate relationship with God. You know, we got to have an intimate relationship with God. Make sure he has an intimate relationship with God. Make sure you have an intimate relationship with God. That's another part of being yoked. You're yoked together. You know, you're on the same page, and you're yoked together in that. Because when you both have an intimate relationship with God, God can speak to you, and God can speak to him. God can speak to him, and God can speak to you. I see many marriages where the woman has an intimate relationship with God. She has a prayer life. She loves God. And the husband, sometimes he'll go to church. Sometimes he don't want to go to church. Okay, you got a problem right there. That's already a problem getting ready to sizzle. You already have a situation that's about to mount up into a problem. So you want to make sure that he is the right fit for your life. She's the right fit. So, Apostle, how do I know they're the right fit? You pray. You put that person in God's face. And then you have a list. Have a list. Have your standards down. Have your standards. They have to be a person that loves God with all their heart, their mind, and their soul. They have to be a person that's dedicated to God. They have to, you know, have to have a relationship, an intimate relationship with God. You don't want someone that's hung up in tradition. If you're not a religious person, then don't marry a person that's religious. If you're a person that's a kingdom-minded person and you're not entangled in religion, you're not entangled in all this ritual and traditional stuff, then don't marry somebody that's traditional and religious, because then don't marry someone, ladies, that the man don't believe in women preachers or women pastors or women apostles or women prophets. Don't marry a person like that, because you're gonna have some conflict. And let's stop blaming all this stuff on God and say, God told me. Come on, let's stop, because sometimes our soul can speak louder than God's voice, and we'll think it's God's voice when it's really our soul that's speaking to us. Because God is not going to put someone in your life, woman or man, that's going to create drama, chaos. That's not his word. It says the blessings, the word of God says, the blessings of the Lord make him rich, and he addeth no sorrow. My goodness, my goodness. God adds no sorrow to relationship. Sometimes we can marry, I forgot what I had up here on the Facebook. I may have to go find it. But sometimes we can marry the right person at the wrong time. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes we can marry the wrong person at the wrong time. It is possible to marry the right person at the wrong time, the wrong season. Let me use Esther for an example. Let me use Esther before I'm going to read some things out of my book. I don't have that much long on the air. Look at Esther. Now, we know the king was, you know, put out a call. You all know the story, for a wife. So, you know, all the virgins came to the king's house. They picked the finest choices of virgins and brought them in the king's house. And, you know, if you read the story, go back and read it, how they went through the purification and changing of garments, and they all had handmaidens. So all of that was going on was a purification. What in that day, they had to, all those virgins had to go through a purification. They had to go through purification, so that was a process that they had to go to before they even went before the king. So they had to go through this purification of herbs and this and myrrh and oil and changing of their garments and being bathed and, you know, all of these different things they had to go through. And it took 6 months for these virgins to go through this process of purification. They were being purified. They would sit over a pit. They had a pit where the women, and they poured all the oils and the spices and the myrrh in this pit with some burning coal and fire, and it caused a vapor to come up. And the women had to sit. I think they had to sit or stand or squat over this pit for a while. And so there, what was happening is all the herbs and oils and the spices in this pit. Vapor was coming up, and it was going, saturating through their pores. So there was smell like all the herbs and the spices. Well, now I'm saying that to say this. So now, and of course, we know the story. Esther was the one that the king chose. Well, Esther was a part of the purification. She was in line with all the other virgins, and the king had a choice. He had a pick who he was going to choose. God gave Esther favor with the king. And so, and because God gave Esther favor with the king, she was in that preparation as well. But notice, when she went into the king's house, even though she was the perfect fit, she was the fit for the king. She was his fit, and he was her fit, and she was his fit. She still didn't marry him at that point. She was in the king's house. This was for somebody. She was right there in the king's house. My God, she had been chosen to be the bride of the king. But she had to go through a purification first. It wasn't the right timing, and it wasn't the right season. And I believe, if my mind serves me correctly, that it took a whole year. Now, I might be wrong. I have to go back. It might be wrong there, but I believe from what I was studying, it's been a while since I studied that, but I know it was 6 years of purification of the oils and the spices and the herbs and the myrrh. And then she had to wait another 6 months. If my mind serves me correctly, I might be wrong on that. But it took a whole year before the king even held out his scepter. You know, it was a space there. So that was a season, a time, a space, a preparation that God had to allow Esther to go through. She had to learn about the king. You know, they would have their talks, you know, how they do back then, and probably eat or whatever. But they were learning one another. He was watching her. He was observing her. And, you know, so she was in preparation. So had she married the king before the preparation, before the purification, that would have been a catastrophe. Because it would have been, even though they were right for each other, even though they were the right fit, but they would have stepped in the wrong season where things was not prepared, where things were not set, where things were not in order. And they would have stepped in the wrong season and married. She would have married the right man at the wrong season. He would have married the right woman at the wrong season, and things would not have worked out. We can miss God when we move out of the season and the time. It could be the right person, and God can say, okay, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to show you her. I'm going to show you him, but you're still not ready. You're still not ready to come together. You're still not ready to go down the altar, because there's still some purification, some things I have to purge out, and some things I have to get out of you. I have to work on your attitude. I have to work on you becoming a better wife, a better husband. I have to teach you, but I just want you to see that this is what I have waiting for you. So you need to get yourself together. I'm showing you where you have to come up. See, Esther had to come up to a standard, because she just couldn't marry the king in her current state, in her current peasant look. You know, she had a peasant look. So she had to go through a purification, be beautified and, you know, hair done, just a whole lot of stuff. She had to be prepped how to walk as a queen, how to present herself as a queen, because he was already the king. So she had to become a queen to know how to properly carry herself and walk before the king. She couldn't go in there loud mouth with her hands on her hips and twisting her head, you know, all that kind of stuff that we do with sisters do sometimes. She had to, you know when to speak, know how to speak. So God is working on the women, because sometimes women, I'm a woman, so I can say this. Now, don't hang up on me. Don't hang up. You know, sometimes we can, our mouth can run so until that man is like, woo, I can't take this. Let me go in the closet. And we're wondering what's wrong with him. No, the scripture says a soft answer turn away wrath. The scripture tells us to learn to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Sometimes we need to learn how to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Because women, we have a lot of words. You know, we can speak. Men don't have a lot of words like we have a lot of words. We can go a mile a minute. You know, we can go, and he's looking like, what's going on? So there's a preparation. So we have to allow God to help us in that area, to know that person, know that man, know that person, know when to speak, know when. And that's what we have to allow God to help us in that area. because a man is not going to stay around very long. He's going to be a frustrated man, and then you're going to be a frustrated woman. So if you're still single, I don't know who all on the line is married, but if you're still single, allow God, you know, go to God. God, what do I need to work on? You know, help me to be the right fit for him. Are there any men? Help me to be the right fit for my wife. Help me to be a covering, the right covering. I want to read something here from my book. Let me see which book I want to read from. Oh, my God. We have about 25 more minutes. I don't know if anyone has any questions. No one pointed out any, sent me any questions at all. I don't know if Prophet Faith is on the line. I don't know. I don't know if she's here. So I'm going to ask, let me put this out. Let me put this out and see. Oh, my goodness. Ladies, this is for ladies. I have, just hold on. Please understand that what's due season for you may not be his due season. In other words, your due season must match his due season. This is out of one of my books, Don't Ignore the Red Flags. It has so much in it. It's so powerful. Wait on your due season. And I'm going to go back to Esther and the king. Or let me use Ruth. Let me go back. Let me use Ruth. She was sitting before, you know, her mentor was Naomi, who began to show her how to walk before God, how to prepare herself for Boaz. But then when Ruth was in the field, now that wasn't her appointed time. That wasn't her time. That wasn't her season. There's a due season, okay? There's a due season. Your due season may be different from your husband, your man, your husband to be, man of God due season. You have different due seasons. So what goes on in the due season? Ruth due season, Boaz was ready. He didn't want to take a wife. No. He wasn't ready because he didn't want to take a wife. But Ruth wanted the husband. So God, they were in different seasons. I hope I'm making that clear. Your husband could be a man of God. He is a man of God, but he's not ready for a wife, and you're ready for your husband. Or it could be vice versa. You could be ready for, the husband could be ready for his wife. The king could be ready for his queen, and the queen is not ready. So you're in different due season. I'm hoping I'm making this clear. You're in different due season, but you're meant to be. You're meant to be married. You're meant to be equally yoked together. You're meant to fit each other. You're each other's fit. Ask God to send your fit. So, but you're still not in the right season. You have to allow God to bring you both in the right season, where your season is his due season and his due season is your right season. So when you come together, you don't come together out of season. You don't meet each other out of season. So Ruth was being prepared, and she listened to the instructions of Naomi as Naomi began to tell her how to prepare herself for her man of God, for her king. But it wasn't the right season. Her due season was different from Boaz's due season. Esther's season was different from the king's due season. Even though those were the people that were going, they were going to marry each other, it was that they had to wait for their due season to match up, to meet up, to come together in the right season together. Oh, this is good, Holy Ghost. So you want to wait as God. So in the due season, though, in the due season, ask God to work on you, to help you to be ready. Because if you have a desire for a wife, you have a desire for a husband, and you have he or she has not shown up yet, that means your due season has not met his due season yet, and his due season has not met your due season. But you're still fitted for each other, and you have to allow God to prepare you to fit together in mind, fit in mind, equal in mind, in your perception and what you desire in life, you know, where you want to live and all those important things in relationship, who's going to handle the finances, who's not going to handle the finances. See, when you have couples that come together and they argue the finance, that's unequally yoked. I can handle the money better than you, and we already, and you can see that they don't know how to take care of money. See, that's that season where you're unequally yoked. So you're waiting, oh, I just heard the Holy Ghost say this, you're waiting on their mature due season. You're waiting for them to come into maturity in their season. So when you're both mature at the same time and you come together, then you're coming together in the right due season for each other's life. That's good right there. I'm going to say that again. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. See, in the due season is the preparation time. So you could be the lady, the woman could be in her due season of maturity. She can be already mature and ready. So that puts us in a place of waiting. And he could not be mature yet. So God has to mature both of you. You both have to be mature, and then when you're both mature and ready, he's ready to be the husband. He's ready to cover. I got to find this in my book real quick. I have 20 more minutes. My God, this is so good. Wait a minute. Let me see if I can find it. This is making wrong decisions. I tell you, these here powerful tools will help a relationship and marriage. I have books on deliverance, delivering your soul. Oh, my God, they're just so powerful. Let me see if I can find this. Let me see. In the beginning, God created man and God. He said, it's not good that the man should be alone. Then he made woman and brought her to the man. Watch this. God made the woman and brought her to the man. Man needs for woman is essential in God's plan. The woman's role in the will of the Father is to be a helpmate that is suitable. Look at that word, suitable, which means fit. That is fit to man in every way. That's that suitable. That's that fitting. He has to fit your life, and she has to fit his life, fit each other's life. How? When he comes and you're a preacher, and he may be an elder, he may not want to preach. He may not, and I'm just using this for an example. He may not want to preach. He may not want to be a pastor, but God has already called you to be a pastor. You are already a preacher. You were already that before he showed up in your life. God already knew that. God is not taken by any surprises. There's nothing that surprises God. So here he comes, but he's an elder. He's not all of what you are in God. But now if he is a man that is self-confident and he's not intimidated by what God is doing in your life, and he's the type of man that will get with you, walk with you, and support you and push you and not be intimidated by who God called you to be and can walk with you in peace, that person is suited for you. He's fitted for your life, or vice versa. It could be the woman. I know Perry Stone said something one night. He was on TV, and he said he didn't want a wife that preached. He didn't want a minister to be a wife. He wanted his wife just to be a wife. He wanted a woman that would be his wife, take care of him, dinner cooked, clothes clean, the house taken care of, children taken. That's all he wanted in a woman. You know, of course, saved. Well, you know, saved and sanctified, Holy Ghost, still all that. But he didn't want a wife that was a minister. And I thought that was interesting when he said that. So he said he talks enough for both of them, and he wanted to be the only person that was going to be, you know, the minister in the house. So, okay, well, God sent him that wife. That fit for her. That fit for her, because she could be the one that didn't want a minister. She probably didn't want to be behind the pulpit or have a mic in her hand. So they fit each other. God sent him a wife that fitted him and sent her a husband that fitted her. It probably was just fine with her. So that's the part you got to make sure in your due season, you're waiting for God to send that fitted, that unequally yoked person. Just because they're saved, once again, don't mean that that's the person for your life. It is time out for all of the misfit relationships. We have too many misfit marriages, too many misfit marriages where they're misfit. You're not a fit. You don't fit each other. You misfit. And that's why there's all this divorce that's going on in the body of Christ. I'm there. I've been there. I'm a divorcee. So, you know, I'll hold my hand up. I missed it. But I'm telling you, I won't miss it this time, because I'm going to make sure every prophet that I know, I'm going to make sure I'm praying and seeking God. God's going to have to send an angel just about. Oh, my God. So we want to make sure. We want to make sure that that man is ready to be the covering. Say, God, when God, I'm back in my book, Making Wrong Decisions. When God presented Eve to Adam, he immediately recognized her as his equal, his fit. He recognized her as his equal, his fit, his yoke. The one that's yoked to him and he's yoked to her. His response was bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Okay? I want to find the part about the man being responsible. You know, you want to make sure that the man of God that comes in your life, ladies, the one that you say yes to, that you are saying yes to some, to the one that's going to cover your life. You got to look at that. You got to analyze that. Can he provide for me? Can he, you know, okay, I'm going to tell you right now. If he comes, he can't provide for me, then that's not the fit. That's not the one for my life. No, no, because his responsibility is to be the covering and the provider. That's what Christ is to the church. If he doesn't come with the attributes of Christ, that responsibility, loving Christ, he said loving Christ, Christ loved the church, loving his wife as Christ loving the church. If he's not Ephesians 5:25, the brother can keep walking. That's my standard. That's my rule. I'm not budging from it. I'm 61. I don't have time for no foolishness. So you got to have that in your head that this is, you're not going to tolerate, even with the men. If there are any men listening, you want a Ruth, you want an Esther. But in order to receive a person of quality, looking for a quality man and a quality woman, the Lord said to me, he said, the reason why my daughters are still waiting this long, he said, because they're waiting on quality. But in order for you to receive quality, you have to be quality. So you have to be a quality woman to connect and draw quality also. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. So marriage doesn't fix your loneliness. Never get married because you're lonely. That won't work. Never get married because you're lonely, because marriage doesn't fix loneliness, because you can be married and still lonely at the same time. I'm throwing out some little keys because I only have a few. Nobody inboxing, nobody texting with any questions or anything, so I'm going to flow like this. Listen, I'm going to throw this key out, submission. Submission is, don't get scared of that word submission, because when that man of God comes in your life, the one that has a heart for you like Christ has for the church, he will understand the word submission, because submission can be taken and used in an abusive way or a way of humility. But the scripture says, talks about in Ephesians, it says, the first thing it says to submit one to another. Submit one to another. Submit one to another. It starts off submitting to each other. You submit to the husband's lead, and the husband submits to the need of the woman. It's submitting to each other, not just the woman submitting to the man. Listen, watch this. I'm reading this out of my book, Making Wrong Decisions. Submission does not mean allowing yourself to become a doormat. God's plan is not for us to walk on each other, but to walk side by side together. Sisters are the submission to his mission. That's good. I'm going to say that again. Sisters, you are the submission to his mission. Without the submission, the mission can't complete its mission. Woo, that's good. You got to buy that one. That's making wrong decisions. That's good. So he comes with a mission. Your king is coming with a mission, and you are the sub to his mission. And his mission is not complete until you become your sub. So when you put your sub to his mission, you both become the mission. Woo! And then you both can walk in submission towards each other. Oh, my God, that is so good. That is so good. Listen, look for integrity and character. Let God bring you your fit. Pray that. Pray specifically to God. Pray specifically for the man of God, that is going to be a man of God of responsibility. You know, and there's the other reason why you can marry a saved person and you still be unequally yoked. You can marry a saved person who's undeveloped. They're still going through a developed stage and they're not developed. You can marry them. That's where you can marry them also before the season. When you marry that person before their season or due season of development is up, then you marry them in mature. You marry them in the development stage, and then you have to walk that development out with them. And most of the time, you know, that's not a good thing, because you're walking with someone who has not been completely developed as the husband or completely developed as being a wife. You have, you know, allow God to make you wife material and husband material. Oh, my God, allow them to complete the development stage, the responsibility, the weight of it is on the man's shoulders. God gave that to the man. He is the one that is the head of the house, the response, the care, the weight of responsibility to care for the wife, the children, and the house. The woman plays a part as well, but that weight is upon that, that husband. And it depends on how the mindset of that husband and his relationship or intimate relationship with God depends on how that family flows. You know, the wife plays a part too. She plays a part too. But that's the person that you've given permission to be the covering over your life. Now, can you imagine there are some women that have given permission for an abusive person to be a covering over their life? I see women that are married to abusive men, and they don't realize that they said, I do, but they gave that man permission to be an abusive covering over their life. I didn't know that until the Holy Ghost showed that to me. I didn't realize that until God showed me that. I said, oh, dear God, we give them permission because we don't have to say yes. God leaves that up to the man and the woman. He leaves that up. The man seeks, and you can either accept it or reject it. We have to stop lying on God and saying God is sending us this person and that person. And then when we get into the marriage, all kind of stuff is going on. That one God, because God don't send us confusion. God is not going to connect us with abuse. That ain't God. That ain't God. He said the blessings of the Lord make it rich and addeth no sorrow. And then we have to get to the place where we just have to swallow our pride or our tongue and say, well, I missed it. So then when we miss it, then we have a decision whether, you know, and I don't advocate divorce, you know, I don't just, you know, it had to be a reason for me to tell somebody to get a divorce, because if you're being beat up and kicked and slammed and mistreated, you need to run for your life and you need to go to the nearest courthouse. Yes, I'm saying on broadcast, live air broadcasting, radio broadcasting, you need to run to the nearest judge and get some divorce papers and leave the city, whatever you have to do to save your life. Because you can't fix somebody who don't want to be fixed. My God from glory. You can't change somebody's mind who mind is not willing to be changed. Jesus, help us. So you have to know what you know that God is speaking to you. Know what God is saying to you. You're waiting on a man of quality, ladies. And then the men are waiting on that woman to be his fit. Waiting on that man to be his fit. We have 8 more minutes on there, so no one sent me any texts or anything in, any questions, inbox, so I don't have anything to give out. But listen, let's wait. Let God do what he needs to do in us. So you can be married to someone that's saved and be unequally yoked. And so it's time now out for misfit relationships. It is time out for marrying the wrong person. Don't marry that person just because they're saved and they speak in tongues. That don't mean that person is right for you. It don't mean that. You want to make sure your personalities kind of balance, you know, balance. So you have some people are they're introverts. You have introverts. You have extroverts. You know, extroverts and introverts and extroverts, and then you have A type, B type people, and you can't handle a B. You know, all these things you have to see if that's going to fit your life. Can you, if you're an A person, can you handle that B person type personality? If you are extrovert or introvert, can you handle that extroverted person? An introvert person is a person that's closed in. They're kind of like they're shuttled. They're like a sheltered within their emotions, and they're afraid to really speak their emotions in their heart. They're afraid to come out and just be them. They're bashful or ashamed, or, you know, they're quiet. But an extroverted person is a person that's, you know, they're out there. You know, they love to be around people, and, you know, they know how to be the life of the party, and they're not afraid to speak. They're not afraid of people, and they're not shy to speak up and say what's on their mind. But then if you have a person that's an introvert and you can't handle that, you have to look at all of that. There's so much that we have to look at in relationship. You got to know what you're able to handle, whatever you're going to deal with. Can I deal with this? You know, can I deal with this person being this way? This is who I'm going to marry. This is who I'm going to live with for the rest of my life. You got to analyze all of that. Can you handle their family? Can you deal with, you know, a family? Get in your business. See, all of this has to be taken care of. You got to make sure that they are the person that you're equal with and that that's the person that fits your life. They're suitable. You're suitable for each other. All these things you have to look at. It's a bigger picture than what we've been looking at down through the years and marrying somebody just because they're saved. And, oh, they're saved. Well, come on, get married. And you know, you're marrying them because your flesh is burning up, and then you find out that you don't fit each other's life at all. Then you're ready to kill each other, ready to throw each other out the door and all that because you married them for the wrong reason. Let's understand what first marriage is all about. Let's understand the seriousness of marriage. You know, let's get all of that understanding first. You know, why you want this person in your life, why you want to be married. I heard someone say this. This is, I mean, I don't have time to say it because it's going to take a whole nother conversation. It is so good. But when you find a person that loves you just for you and they don't have all this list of loving you, someone said, ask the person, why do you love me? And if they can answer why they love you, then that's not the right person. And when I heard that, I mean, I just like, wow. And they said, ask that person, so ladies or men, brothers or sisters, ask them, why do they love you? And if they can give you an A, B, C reason why they love you, then they're going to have to continue to keep up the A, B, C, and D. In other words, if the man says to you, I love you because you have big, beautiful brown eyes, or you have a beautiful smile, or I love your shape. And then if the woman says, well, I love you because you have muscles, I love you because you, you know, I love how you do this, I love how you smile, I love your voice. And if those are the reasons, and those are just a few reasons why I love you, that means that they don't understand what real love is, because 10 years down the road, you're going to have to keep the good shape because that's why they love you. 10 years down the road, sir, you're going to have to keep the muscles. 10 years down the road, sister, you're going to have to keep long hair because that's the part of them that they love and what attracted them. But when this man of God says, but when that person can tell you, I don't really know, I can't find the reason why I love you, I just love you. And when I heard that, I said, God, this is such a powerful revelation. So when you can tell a person that you don't know why you love them, but you know you love them, it means that they don't have to perform for the rest of the relationship. They don't have to perform for you to keep loving them. You don't have to keep, you know, because as we get older, we change. Our body change. You know, some, you know, we just change. We slow down. We're not as energetic as we used to. And so we're not performing because they say, he loved me if I keep my shape. This is what he loved about me. And I see women doing it, and I see men doing it. He said, but if you love them, love doesn't have a reason to love. This is the closing here. Real love, agape love, doesn't have a reason to love. Agape love loves because that's what it does. It does what it does. It loves. Agape love does not love you because of, but agape love loves you because that's what it does. And when I heard that was the revelation the Lord gave me, I said, God, you are helping me. You are helping me. So, see, this is changing our mindset to understand, do we even understand what real love is? So we have to allow God. Allow God. I have one more minute on the air. Allow God to finish the complete work in you as a husband, as a wife, in your due season. And if you're already married, God can still work with you. God is never too late for God. Still allow God to give you understanding, to still continue to work with you, because we're a work in progress. You know, we are a work in progress, and we're needing God every day to continue to bring us to that place of perfection. But Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for each and every person that has called in and been listening in on tonight. We ask that you, those that are single, that you would send their fit, their suitable mate, the one that's fitted for their life, the one that's suitable for them, and in their due season, they will meet together at the right season. And in their due season, you're making them who you've called them to be. You're making them that husband. You're making them that wife. You're preparing them. You're taking them through that purification. And they're allowing you to get rid of the ugly that's in us. Get rid. I put myself in this prayer. Get rid of the ugly that's in us, that we may be that a beautiful person that person is looking for, desiring. Father, help us to be what we need to be for our mate, that husband, that wife. Complete the finished work, the process, the developing stage. Continue to help us to develop into what you would have us to be, that you would be glorified, that we would have no more misfit relationships, but we would have the right relationships. God bless you. Shalom on tonight. Shalom. God bless you.